as we always do on Your Calls Media Roundtable, we start off on a positive note and highlight journalism that really stood out. So, Jonathan Lande, what stood out for you this week?
What stood out for me really was the total paralysis within the so-called international community over what to do about Syria. And it's that gap into which the Russians have now inserted themselves. It was amazing to listen to leader after leader of major powers and minor powers, and the Secretary General himself of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, all of them saying, we haven't done anything, we need to do something, we need to get off our butts and get a peace process moving. We have to do something about this terrible refugee situation with Ban Ki-moon saying the international humanitarian system isn't broken, it's broke. In other words, there's even no money left, or very little money, not enough money needed to address not just this massive tidal wave of refugees flowing into Europe, but the millions of refugees who are stuck still in Turkey, in Iraq, in Lebanon, in other places within Syria itself. And just this utter paralysis, as I said, where you have this all of these leaders saying, you know, we haven't done anything, and then blaming each other. And you could hear the divisions that have paralyzed any kind of concerted, coordinated international response to the tragedy of Syria. You then it becomes very clear why there hasn't been this. And all of this taking place on the 70th anniversary of the founding of the United Nations, an institution that was supposed to bring together the international community in a diplomatic setting and so that you could come up with a diplomatic solution as an alternative to war, and it was quite clear from what I saw this week at the United Nations that the institution is not functioning. It's not working, at least with regard to Syria and a host of other problems like Yemen and what's going on in Iraq.
And so, Jonathan, we're going to talk about this later in the show, but you were at the UN covering these issues and these speeches by these leaders. Where did you see good reporting on this? And what questions were reporters asking these people?
Well, you know, it's really, I mean, I think in general, I think that everybody seemed to get in their reporting this, was able to convey this paralysis. If you're a good reporter, and I think there are a lot of people who are able to do this, if you're a good reporter, that's what you highlight when you're also writing about here's what Putin said, here's what Obama said. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to point you at one particular story, but generally I think a lot of the journalism was able to pinpoint this utter paralysis that has that is the United Nations.
Jonathan Lande has been covering the meeting at the UN. He is National Security and Intelligence Correspondent for McClatchy. A little later in the show, we'll talk more about that. And I believe we now have on LA Times reporter Ali Latifi from Kabul. Hi, Ali. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hi, thank you for joining us. So, Ali, on our Friday Media Roundtable, we point out journalism that, did a good job this week, or journalists who've done a good job this week. What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
That's a good question. I think, there has been a lot of really good reporting by Radio Free Europe, by DPA, the Deutsche Presse Agentur, by Deutsche Welle, and hopefully by the LA Times, about the issues in Kunduz in Afghanistan, which was basically the first city this week on early Monday morning. It was the first time that the Taliban were able to take over a city, a provincial capital, the fifth largest city in the country. It was the first time in 14 years that they were able to do this, and I think, the reporting on it has been very difficult because of the fact that the city is basically shut off from people. It's very hard for anyone to get there. A couple of friends of mine, they went. One went and he basically didn't get a chance to get out of the airport. Another went with one of the security services and he said he didn't get to go into the city. So sort of the issue with reporting on Kunduz, and the thing that I think that like RFE and Oshuela and DPA have been good at, is sort of parsing, you know, the different accounts, because even the people in the city, you know, this is now the third or fourth day, they've run out of food because, you know, stores are afraid to stay open. They've run out of electricity's in and out, cell phone services in and out. They've run out of credit on their phones, so it's very hard to get information from there. But people are still trying, and we're seeing a lot of, you know, really good reporting coming from it. And I think what separates good reporting from just sort of the okay reporting out of Kunduz is sort of parsing the two, because you will get accounts from the government and human rights organizations saying one thing, and then you'll get other accounts from the Taliban and the people on the ground saying something else. And sort of trying to put those together and say, be truthful, like there are conflicting reports, you know, we're not 100% sure of, you know, every element of it, but this is what all of the different parties are saying. Because there are a lot of parties getting involved in this issue and become, you know, I mean, because we heard, when was it? It was the other day, it was on Wednesday, when they were saying, basically, we've taken over the city, right? Like, when the government was saying, we've taken back control of the city. It was Wednesday night going into Thursday morning saying, you know, we've taken back control of the city, and, you know, it's back in government hands. But then if you talk to people, you know, I was talking to people on the ground, too. If you talk to people, they say, yes, to an extent, it's in government hands, but people are still afraid to go out. And also there are parts of the city that are basically still divided between the two sides, because the government was trying very hard to say, we've taken it back, it's ours, it's not an issue anymore. But the people on the ground, you know, they can still hear gunfire. They can see there's still fighting going on in certain parts of the city, even until now. And even where there isn't necessarily fighting, you know, they're afraid to go out. They're afraid to go out on the streets.